Welcome to Unity of Tucson.
I am so delighted to have one of my dearest friends in the whole world joining us today. I'm not going to go into the whole story of how we met because that would probably take the whole 20 minutes to really tell the story beautifully and accurately. You can go watch The Rant and hear all about it from this past Friday online. But this is someone that I have had weekly chats with for the better part, well, just over a decade now. Those chats have transformed themselves into a weekly webcast that we offer called The Rant, Radically Affirmative New Thought, and she is visiting us here from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Please welcome Reverend Steph St. Amand.
Theater kid.
That's why we get along so well. And we're going to do sort of a little bit of a ranty kind of thing. You know, the rant is an opportunity that we take to just kind of be in conversation with one another. Mm-hmm. I did have some notes today, not
yes.
for you.
Yeah.
To tell you how to do anything, but I have some notes.
I like
about
notes versus feedback for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. So today is Palm Sunday, and Sandy, you could not have chosen a better topic to discuss today because I'm talking about the same thing. We're going to discuss this together.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So I want to start with this. Today is Palm Sunday, and as you mentioned, Sandy, it's a moment in the Christian liturgical calendar where it marks Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, right? It's often called and referred to as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that leads us into Holy Week, and in the story of the Gospels and in the story of Jesus, it is his final week of life, the week that he spends in Jerusalem before he is crucified. Now, there's some context, I think, that is important to understand here. There are many historians who have suggested that we think about this in a slightly different way, mm-hmm. Which I love, because here's what some of the historians have offered. They said that during the Roman Empire, Rome would get really nervous during Passover. You know what Passover is? So Passover, of course, is the telling of the story of the overthrowing of Pharaoh's dominance in Egypt. And it's the story of God basically mm-hmm. overthrowing Pharaoh and the Jews then leaving and leaving Egypt and going on their journey. So, you know, it's the story about God overcoming and overthrowing the powers that be in the earthly realm. Mm. And so Rome, in response to this, would show a sign of dominance. The governor of... Do that again? Yes. So the governor of any given area, the governor would ride into the city of Jerusalem leading a military parade during the Passover time. And so this military parade had armed soldiers, horses, banners, war drums, right? And they're out there singing their war songs, a show of dominance to basically scare the Jews into submission. So Jesus flipped the switch to stage a protest. His entry into Jerusalem is a protest to the dominant governmental structure. And he didn't ride into Jerusalem with soldiers. He didn't ride into Jerusalem on a horse. He did not ride into Jerusalem armed like they had guns. I don't know why they like.
It would have been.
No, he rode into Jerusalem with peasants.
Mm.
And they laid out palm branches. And while the Romans would sing battle hymns as they were coming into the city, the peasants and Jesus and his followers sang Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. And the idea was that they were basically saying, we cannot beat Rome in a fight, but we're going to not do nothing. It's a great lesson. It's a great yeah. lesson. You know, the song that I sang today, I know I'm talking, it's like, here, let me have Steph talk to you, and now I'm going to dominate the talk. I promise you. This is all precursor to our conversation.
Yes.
The song that I sang today, it really kind of occurred to me. I have heard it said that quiet doesn't need to be a dirty word. And I think that there is great power in quiet. And this is sort of what Jesus was doing. While singing Hosanna, he's having a relaxed entry as a triumph into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. There is power in that. There is power in the calmness. And I think it's a great lesson for each and every one of us to take to heart in our current times, frankly, that we have power in calmness. We don't need to be out there rallying. Although I do like a rally. But we don't have to be out there trying to make change. That's never what we're doing. Our work in the New Thought philosophy and what we teach is that it is about changing our hearts and our minds and living within that construct to such a degree that our faith is not shakable in that. And so everything in the world of form must transform itself in accordance with what is within each and every one of us. As Ernest Holmes says, one alone in consciousness with the infinite constitutes a complete majority. So in New Thought, we don't just tell this story. Mm. We look within the story. We see Jesus, as we teach, Jesus as an embodiment of the Christ consciousness. And we see that journey as a reflection of our own journey.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
So great.
And so it is. Thank you very much.
I really loved what Sandy brought with the donkey representing the ego, because that is our journey. We go through life maybe riding on a donkey, and shedding all of the fear that we have about just existing. Sometimes, right? Sometimes the greatest courageous thing we can do is get out of the bed in the morning, right? And so our struggle with that ego self is a part of the inner work that we do to let go of that fear to whatever is external and ride that donkey in like you own it. You know, that's...
right. I'm like, I'm gonna wrap my mind around that.
Well, let me,
Yeah.
So... If, like Sandy said, if you you can either ride the donkey or the donkey can ride you. Yes. And I don't think my back could take that right now. So I would much prefer to settle in a calm and still manner. I know from my years of experience with chronic anxiety disorder, it is the stillness that makes me more strong. It is the stillness and the quiet of my own mind that allows me to walk the spiritual path. So being able to just circulate that experience for myself and calming the ego, taming the donkey. Oh. I can put that on my resume. Donkey tamer.
Donkey tamer.
Donkey tamer. Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I think that the donkey represents, it represents, on some level, a notion of humility. And not a humility that is, I'm going to diminish myself, but a humility that says, I know the truth of my being, and so I needn't be dominant in my experience and expression with people. Because when we know the truth of our being, when we know who we are, which is what Jesus was teaching us, Jesus knew the truth of his being. He said it repeatedly. He said, I and the Father are one. And he was not saying, I am separating myself by saying I and the Father are one. He's saying, this is true of me and it must be true of all. Because all creation is the outflow of that inflow of love upon itself. Mm-hmm. And so we must live from this point of view. And so he's demonstrating mastery not through domination, but through spiritual authority, And we all have the capacity to express our spiritual authority. And you know, I've called this our DNA, our divine natural authority. Mm-hmm. And it is the core of each and every one of us.
Yes.
Have you heard that? Have I said that to you, DNA?
Well, I kind of watch you guys on Sundays.
Oh.
So I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah. And that power... And we, each and every one of us, possess, I don't like to say we possess, because it's not something that we own. Actually, I should say, an aspect of our beingness is the very creative power, mm-hmm. not force, but presence.
Yes.
The presence of the divine is expressed by means of each and every one of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. True power is not done by force.
No.
I have a little story.
Please.
I used to work in a correctional facility. And so working with young men who are between the ages of 14 and 18, and some of them had done some, you know, things to get into a correctional facility at such a young age. And my presence there was to be peace, to just bring peace, to be accepting of the heart that was in them instead of the circumstance that led them there. And there was an opportunity one time when two 18-year-old, 6'2" young men, yeah, were right here on either side of me and experiencing, they were from separate family groupings, let's say, and they wanted to end each other. And in a small space, these two giants, and so I quickly got on the radio, code green, and I stood between them, because what else was I going to do? Let that happen? And as they were, like, puffing their chests and, you know, beating their drums, I just stood there and I said, you know, let's just think about what we can do right now and take a breath. Just take a breath. And they're just puffing and beating their chests. And somehow just calming them down, just taking a breath, being still with them, allowing the inaction to just be present. They decided that they would step away and take an opportunity. And I had already distilled the situation without using force when I was also the smallest employee. That all the big guys and their belts come running in and just watch this happen instead, right? And so we don't have to engage with hostility. We can calm right here, right now, be present, be in the stillness and accept that this is happening. And we can, in that stillness, really slow down time and allow this experience to be made known, because life is happening. It's happening. This is happening. And I can either get overwhelmed and participate in a way that would elevate that experience, or I can be still and know that everything's going to be okay right here and right now. So, calm, still, present.
There's also, thank you for that story, it's beautiful, because there's also something that kind of resonates with me in that story that is an acknowledgement that our impulse, many times, I think, is to jump in mm-hmm. and try to, through force, diffuse, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a belief that many of us may be holding on to because
yeah.
I'm doing it again, these stances I get into. But it may be a belief that we get into.
I'm helping.
And part of the work of New Thought is to lay down the erroneous beliefs,
mm-hmm.
to let go of those erroneous beliefs that do not serve us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's taking it back to the Palm Sunday story. When they're laying the palm fronds down as Jesus enters the city, it is representing the surrender, the inner surrender, the laying down of those limiting beliefs that we mm-hmm. carry. And saying, I am my own divine natural authority, and I needn't give in to limitation any longer. And, you know, many people who might have had a stature such as yours, which, by the way, is great.
Thank you.
But when faced with that same situation,
mm-hmm.
they may not have been able to lay down those limiting beliefs. They may have gone to the space of fear.
Yeah.
And fear oftentimes leads us into expressions of, let's just say, challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel challenged?
I feel challenged, yes. It happens.
It does.
Yeah.
So, I called today's talk The Weave.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, never let the title of your message get in the way of what needs to be said. But I do actually have an idea of what the weave means.
Yes.
The weave is actually inviting that understanding that life is not a single thread. Life is a tapestry. Life is a tapestry. And on Palm Sunday, joy and celebration are actually woven alongside a story that is rooted in the tension of what is to come. And on some level, we're all balancing that story as well. Because let me ask you, do you know what's going to happen in an hour?
We're going to have some coffee.
Well, we are going to have some coffee. But we are at choice always to determine if our projection into what we think might happen is rooted in tension or if it is rooted in joy and celebration that is happening right here and right now. Do you feel joy?
Yes.
I feel joy and I'm so delighted.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christ within each and every one of us, and that's what we mean when we talk about Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ was not Jesus' last name. It was an acknowledgement of that higher consciousness that Jesus embodied and moved through this experience of life with. We are all that same thing unfolding.
Yes.
The Christ consciousness is our consciousness, and our work is to accept and allow and know that this is a blueprint from which we can pull every thread into the weaving of something beautiful. It's called life. Mm-hmm. So what am I weaving today? What are you weaving today? Are you weaving fear or faith?
Oh, I am unapologetically faithful.
Love that. Mm. What does faith mean to you?
It's just a centralized knowingness that I am infinitely supported by a presence that is beyond my comprehension, and I don't need to really... I just speak what I want, and the universe will be like, hey... Like what you have to say, let's do that.
And so it is.
You know?
Yeah.
And faith is, I've grown it. I've definitely grown faith from those experiences of anxiety and depression that I lived in for so long. Thankfully, finding new thought so that I could have new thoughts and slowly weave into a place of faithfulness. Because when you have an anxiety disorder, it's living in fear. You have faith in the world is out to get you. That's where I was. Because you don't grow your faith. You have as much faith as you're going to have right now. But what we have our faith in can grow. Mm-hmm. And what we have our faith in actually does grow. That's the law of the infinite, right? The infinite law is that what we think about comes about. So having faith in where you want to be, having faith in the dynamic expression of who you are because you are divine and, as this we say here, magnificent.
Magnificent.
We're absolutely magnificent. And so faith in that, when we look in the mirror and go, oh, I got this today. I'm fully supported by something greater than I am. And so therefore, I can do anything. Mm. I can do anything.
Other things that we can, you know, weave in our lives, we can weave resistance or surrender.
Mm.
You know, Carl Jung famously said, what you resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
So having a willingness to look at what we are resisting in our lives, if we are resisting challenge, you're going to maintain that challenge in life because what you resist persists. So what if we were, you know what, actually, here's what I always say. Mm-hmm. If I ever, you know, I'm in conversation and I say, well, how are you doing? How are you doing today? And someone says, oh, I'm hanging in there. I say, let go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yeah.
We're hanging in there because we're hanging on to the resistance. What if we were to surrender and know that we are always caught?
Yes.
Because we're always held in the hands of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. So surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Actually, we're singing that today, aren't we? Yeah. That's one of the songs we're singing today. Surrender.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love surrender. Surrender is one of the greatest gifts that ever has touched my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whenever I'm struggling, resisting something for me is just not listening to the signs or the red flags. And so... Yeah, surrender is just this beautiful gift. When if I'm resisting something, the voices get louder, the struggle gets harder. And so when I have the opportunity to surrender, it's just like, I can say this today, Jesus, take the wheel. Right? just let it go. Let whatever it is that's holding you back go. And like an elastic band, if you the resistance that you have, the harder you pull, the more resistance you have, unless you let go, bonk, it goes flying across the room, and your cat chases it and has a whole fun day.
That is true. Yeah. You know, another part of the weave, and we've actually already talked about this, because this is essentially what you brought up, Sandy. Another part of the weave is the balance between ego, understanding of the ego self, and the understanding of the divine presence self. And where are we on that scale? And I think we're always navigating that scale to some degree. You know, I know it may come as a shock to you, but I have my ego-based days.
What?
I know, the minister? Mm-hmm. Like, really? He's not perfect? No. We still have our own, we still have experiences. You know, the thing about a spiritual path is that it's not meant to change or diminish the experiences. It is to provide within us tools to address the experiences we have.
Yes.
But here's the thing that ends up happening, is as we use spiritual practice and spiritual tools to address the issues in our life does get easier.
Mm-hmm. It gets better.
That's why I say the adoption of these principles in my life has enhanced the quality of my life. How about you?
Absolutely. New thought has changed my life.
Yeah.
Giving me the tools to learn about who I am helps me remember who I am. Mm. And they help me forgive everything. Forgive everything. Everything. Yeah. This is such an amazing teaching.
It is.
And it's life transformative. And the laws are always working, so when we intentionally, consciously direct our thoughts and our ways of being, miracles happen. We are only demonstrating that which is already happening. Mm-hmm. We already are divine expressions of infinite potential. And so stepping into every day using these tools that we are gifted by those who have come before us for thousands of years. Buddha is older than JC, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a long time, these teachings and philosophies that have transformed lives, and we get to use them.
We get to use them. Beyond that, we are blessed to use them.
Yes. Oh, I am blessed.
Knowledge. Yes. I'm blessed to be able to understand this and to live this. And the weave really is the manner in which we choose to live our lives. You know, we can choose to live our lives by weaving in intentional living, grounded in love. We can allow ourselves to awake to the sacred thread that exists as each and every one of us, the sacred thread of spirit that runs through all. And that, to me, is the most magnificent way of understanding this holy day, which leads us into a holy week. But every week is holy and every day is holy. Let us never forget that.
Yeah.
Because holiness is an aspect of our understanding at the heart level, that heaven is not a place we're seeking to get to. Heaven is a state of mind, and we are either living it now or we're living some other place. Think about that.
Mm.
You have anything more to add?
No. That's grace.
And here's what I will add. I'm deeply grateful for your presence in my life. I'm deeply grateful for your participation in honoring and offering the message today. And I will love you for the rest of my life, Reverend Steph St. Amant.
And then some.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. You are all magnificent. Each week, I would tell any actor to not do that. Do not start a sentence and then take a sip of water. Each week I offer a home practice. If you're new to our community, I offer a home practice to take some of what the lesson may have been through the message and apply it in our lives. Because if the philosophy is not practically applicable, then what's the point? So this is what I offer for us to take charge of this week. Take time each morning this week to center yourself in a brief mindfulness practice. Fairly simple. You can say every morning, today I center in, and I'm giving you 7 different things to center in, 1 for each of the days. Or actually, I guess there are really only 6 up there because next Sunday we'll be back here. So on Monday, today I center in joy. On Tuesday, today I center in strength. On Wednesday, today I center in compassion. On Thursday, today I center in connection. On Friday, today I center in release. And on Saturday, today I center in stillness. And let that be how you choose, if you so choose, to move through this Holy Week.
Hi, this is Reverend Jonathan Zenz, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast of my Sunday message. Your financial support will ensure that we can continue to offer this as an option for inspiration. You can make your tax-deductible contribution in any amount on our website, unitytucson.com. Once again, thank you for listening. You are magnificent. Namaste.